Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Wednesday, April 8, 2020, and this is episode 192 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me in this very, very strange world that we now live in, all the way from Georgia, who finally shut down their state, except you can go to the beach, is Eric Nathanson. What's up, man?
Not much. It's been interesting living in Stupidville through this entire ordeal. I wish I was hunkered down in your palatial estate out there in California, but unfortunately, I am stuck in the deep south, as you said. So we're doing okay. I'm on day 28 of my shutdown. Last time we recorded was day one when we did that video show with Willie a few weeks ago. Yeah. And we're starting to hit stir crazy time, so we figure we get back on the mic and have another show. I mean, I'm guessing out by you, it's just pretty quiet. There's not much going on, is there?
Not at all. It's really incredible. We were just talking about this in the pre-show, but it's not just baseball, but all of the sports world internationally is shut down. Hell, they've even delayed the Olympics until 2021. So it's going to be in an odd year, which is very strange. And you know, for guys like you and myself who are sports fans in general, I do enjoy getting up in the morning and you know, listening to KMBR, reading the paper, just kind of updating myself in the world of sports and reading those stories. And there's none of that going on right now. There's no scores to look at. There's no stats to digest. There's no, you know, conflicts between head coaches and their players. There's just no amazing plays. There's no bloopers. There's just nothing going on. We're, you know, going down the YouTube hole. Last night, actually, the Giants had tweeted out, hey, check out Madison Bumgarner's Major League debut. And it was a game from 2020 or 2010. So I clicked on it and I watched a few innings and it was really fun. It was like, oh, that's filling a little hole, a little void, you know, but it was still seeing like it was Cody Ross and Pat Burrell and Aubrey Huff. But then, of course, there's Buster Posey looking the same as he always has. But it's really hard to find that replacement right now because there is none. And we're all holed up in our houses, not able to go anywhere. We have to fill our time with something. I mean, I'm busy with our kids and I'm not finding a whole lot of free time, ironically, but I mean, how has it been to you? How's this impact been? Just as speaking from the sports fan perspective, not all the other stuff that's going on.
It takes away from the rhythm of a normal day. You know, we were hurtling towards baseball season, and in my house, you know, the countdown begins, and it's kind of like, okay, great. You know, soon we're going to have baseball. Soon we're going to have baseball because baseball, in its nature, is perfect for the daily activity. And so we always knew we'd have that little time during the day. And then when all of a sudden it was taken away, it's like, okay, it's not just that I have to fill the 3 hours. I need to figure out, like you talked about, waking up in the morning. Like I miss waking up in the morning, pouring a cup of coffee, packing my thing, sitting down, opening up the computer and reading The Athletic or reading Pavlovich or reading Hank from the night before about the Giants game. And we just don't have that right now. So totally, you know, I'm a work from home guy as it is. And so, you know, yes, I'm quote unquote doing what I normally do, but the whole rhythm is off. You know, I wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, now I have to figure out what to do with my day. And before, sports would dictate that for us. And I think that that was the benefit. And that's the one thing we're missing the most. It's just the regular, you know, rhythm and habit that baseball and sports in general brings with us. And it just sucks. I mean, you know, like you said, we were talking before the show about what we're doing to fill the time. And you've got kids, so you've got school stuff you've got to deal with. You've got, you know, I know you're still working from home and stuff like that. The wife and I, we're having just as much of a hard time. I told you we're watching movies that I never expected to watch, and it's like, I watched the entire Tiger King Netflix thing in one day, and
I'm hearing so much about that show.
I know so much about that bitch Carol Baskin now, it's not even funny. And like, I didn't need to know that. I never would have watched that normally. But, you know, everybody was talking about it, so I checked it out. And it's stuff like that now is we all have to figure out ways. Thank goodness, though, it's 2020. Could you imagine if it was 1980 or 1990 and we were all stuck in our own homes without the internet?
Oh, like, God.
This would be even worse. Like, I mean, yeah, it'd be hard for me. But again, you've got kids. I couldn't even imagine what you'd be dealing with at this point.
No, I remember that, you know, growing up, you know, obviously in the 70s and 80s, and summer vacations were usually so boring by the, you know, second or third week after school got out, because it would be waking up at 10 or 11 or even noon as a teenager and then just being so bored throughout the day. Because, that was pre-internet. You know, there was pre-DVR and on demand. It was just you watched a show when it came on, right? You went outside and played ball with your friends, but if it was 100 degrees that day, you didn't want to do that. So, yeah, that's a really good point. We do have a lot of entertainment avenues at our disposal with the internet, but man, it's a very strange thing. I think what really changes is how we view the world and how important things are. Sports are extremely important to our society in terms of entertainment and being fulfilled and that kind of stuff. Obviously, they're not essential to live. And I think what's interesting is whenever something came up, and my mind's drawing a blank right now, and trying to think of, how about this? The strike of 94, right? Players go on strike and there's no baseball. That freaked me out when that happened. I was like, baseball is like life to me, and it's never been shut down before. And here we go. We've shut down. We've lost the end of the season, but we still had games that counted and all that. But no World Series champion, no nothing. And I thought that was the most odd thing. Now all of the sports are going through that simultaneously. Look at the NBA. It looks like they're not going to be able to complete their season, so it just gets canceled at some point. Major League Baseball, which we'll get to, we really don't know what's going to happen. But sports across the world, including the Olympics, are being canceled or delayed. And so I think it makes us readjust our view of, yes, sports are important, but if they don't happen or a season gets canceled, it's not the end of the world. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that's coming out of a lot of this. I'm really surprised. I didn't realize how many people watch sporting events every single night until basketball and hockey shut themselves down. And then the basketball tournament got canceled. And I was seeing every day people being like, I don't know what to, I had no idea people watch. I watch sports. I watch baseball religiously. I watch football on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. But like, I don't tune in to basketball and hockey as often. You know, I pay attention, but I'm not as tuned in. So like, it never was part of my everyday habit. You know, like, oh crap, now I can't watch this crappy ass Bulls team again. I mean, no, thank goodness. You know, I don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. So, you know, it changed in that respect. But like, you know, I people in general, we need a distraction. And having coronavirus, COVID-19, it has stopped that distraction. Like, I know I wrote a post for our website yesterday. I'm not expecting hundreds of people to come rushing to read it, because at this time, I'm not going to read the guys that I normally read. Because no offense to them, they're not giving me any new information. It's all stuff like, you know, coming up with topics like, who would you hang out with during a pandemic? And what's the greatest Giants game of all time? And, you know, who did this? And what was this? You know, who's my favorite person to cover? And that's not news. And so I understand, you know, other people not, you know, listening to us necessarily or reading our stuff as much, although we hope if you're listening now, it's too late. But, you know, that's where it really has changed for me. Is I'm not going to those websites. I'm not checking the same stuff out anymore. I don't feel like I'm missing anything, because there's nothing to miss anymore. And we don't have that sense of community. Like the other night they showed the issue game, and everybody kind of got together and watched it a little bit on Twitter. And for 2.5 hours on Twitter, we were all talking Giants again. I've talked about my favorite band, Phish, before. On Tuesday nights, they're replaying old concerts. And so for 3 hours on Tuesday nights, the entire Phish community lights up on Twitter and we all get to talk and interact again. But then it's over and everybody just goes back. And that sense of community that sports and those shared events brings us is what we're lacking right now. And so it adds to the disconnect in my mind of the sheltering in place because we don't have those things to discuss. All we have to discuss is how many new cases, how many people have died, you know, what is the government doing here, what's going on in other countries. Like, we don't have the necessary distractions that we need. And like you said, it proves that we can live without them. And, you know, my life changed when the baseball season started. But before then, my life was pretty much the same. I still watch the same things I watch on Wednesday nights. You know what I mean? I didn't change that kind of stuff up. So, I mean, how are you coping? I mean, did you start doing different things? I know you have a family. So, like, are they taking up more of your time than you expected? And are you even getting the break that everybody else seems to be getting?
Yeah, I definitely am spending a lot of time, more than I did expect. Certainly isn't all day, every day, because like you said, I do work from home, so I still have my job to attend to. And it can be difficult at times because my wife's job, I'm not exaggerating, she's on the phone 5 to 6 hours a day. Phone calls are the nature of her work. A lot of internal discussions, and she's going through a lot of stuff right now with her company that I won't share here, but it's been very, very hard to deal with. So she's really stressed out on her end. My job, I typically only have maybe one, if not two calls a day. Some days I have no calls, but I got to get work done, actual produce some materials that people are waiting for, or their long-term projects that are going to be due 6 months from now. But if I don't get my ass in gear now, I'm going to be late for those. That's where it really is hard because, you know, my son's doing his distance learning every morning and he's getting better at it now, but, you know, there's technology problems. He needs help with Google Classroom. He has questions about the homework and new concepts that he's learned, those kinds of things. My daughter, she hasn't been starting that school process yet, so she's just bored. She gets up and starts tap dancing, comes in and, hey, Dad, what you doing? That kind of stuff. So there's the constant interruptions that's making it very difficult to get my work done. And because I'm trying to pick up the slack because my wife, you know, she's been stressed at her job and she's overloaded right now. I'm trying to take care of, you know, the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, the household chores, the yard work, all those things that happen throughout the week and weekend too. Shopping wise, we're not, you know, we're taking this seriously. We're trying to minimize any risk or any exposure that we can reasonably do. So we're not even going to stores. We have not ordered takeout even one time. Much to my kids' chagrin, they want to, you know, can we just get a pizza, Dad? It was like, nope, we're sheltering in place. I'm not getting coronavirus off the pizza box. Nope. I order online, grocery pickup. I drive up, they come out, they put it in my trunk. I drive off. I sanitize all the groceries when I get home. So we're taking this seriously, but it is very hard because it's working through the day in the office, in the house. Then all the chores, then being with the kids, cooking dinner, spending time with them. And then it's usually put them to bed by 10. And it's Groundhog Day. It really is. It's beginning into this where I forget if it's a Monday or a Friday. I refer to it as any day, yesterday, that day, the next day, the other day. there's no other names attached to these days now, which is interesting. But I think I'm hanging out. I'm hanging around okay. I'm doing fine. I just don't know how much longer that a lot of America is going to be able to take this. I was looking back. We did our special episode with Willie and company on Ty on March 13th. Now, we did talk about COVID then. It was a big topic, but just for context, number one, that was your first night going under lock and key, right? Correct. My first day was the Monday after that recording. It was the 15th, I believe, or the 16th. So that day, the U.S. had just over 2,100 cases, and now we're surging well past 400,000. So it gives you an idea of just how quickly this virus has spread in less than 4 weeks. It is more than, you know, it's increased by more than 200 times since our last recording. But it's been difficult because I've been sheltering in place since March 16th, I guess. We had a set strike on the March 15th where I helped my daughter and her play tear down sets, but I told her, don't hug anyone, don't do any of that. And of course, she's around, she's hugging everyone. They're all hugging each other because they realize this is the last time they're going to be able to see each other for a while. But, you know, we're going on week number four of quarantine. And with our shelter in place extended through May 3rd, I guess it is right now, we have at least another 3.5-4 weeks to go at minimum. And I think in reality, we're going to go through May for sure into June. So I'm really looking at least 2 or 3 more months of quarantine or shelter in place. And I mean, you're going to, I don't know if marriages are going to survive this, Eric.
Yeah, that's the truth.
How are you guys hanging? Because, you know, I think we all need our outlets. Those outlets, a lot of them have been shut down. I do a lot of exercise in the garage now. That's like my physical outlet now. I can go running or hiking or take the dog. But we all have our personal time and rituals, like you were talking about, coffee and news in the morning. Those things have all been taken away. And we're as, you know, social animals, we're really trying to dig for those replacements. But at the same time, being in the same household with the same people 24 hours a day starts to wear on you a little bit.
It's really starting to show which marriages and families have communication and which ones don't. I feel fortunate. We both work from home. We have really good communication. So we've already mastered the art of leaving each other alone in the same house, you know? So we don't really have problems with that. And it's been fortunate. We get together, we make dates, you know, okay, I'll meet you at the couch at 8 o'clock and we'll watch this, you know? And like I said, we've watched movies. We've caught up on all of Tournament of Champions on Food Network. We're watching Great Food Truck Race. We're, you know, as you can tell, we like the Food Network. And we like, you know, there's no sports shows, so you need competition. So yeah. Where else are you going to turn? Turn to Guy's Grocery Games. Turn to Food Truck Race. You got Chopped. You got competition.
Yeah, I guess some reality TV.
Right, you know, and so with that void of no competition, that's kind of what we do. But you know, thankfully we haven't been hit by it. Personally, I know my wife has a cousin that has been infected who is recovering, and I think that's the main thing is, you know, knowing that everybody that we've talked to is healthy. I mean, this is the type of thing, like without going into too much detail, I had a falling out with my family back around Thanksgiving, and my mother and I have stayed in touch throughout this pandemic, and it's been good. You know, it strips everything away, you know, and it's just genuine care and concern and checking in. You know, my mom's 70. I want to make sure she's okay. She's susceptible to this. And she lives outside of Chicago, which is a hotspot. I live an hour away from Albany, Georgia. And if anybody's paid attention to the news, they know Albany, Georgia has been a hotspot because we have a hospital there that got overloaded immediately because people went to a funeral and spread it around. And we immediately became, yes. And so that's why it blows my mind that people around here, you know, we're just an hour away from that. They don't take it as seriously. So I think one of the lessons to learn is do what needs to be done for yourself without hurting other people. And so we've kind of gotten to the point where screw everybody else. We're just going to do what we need to do. Like you, we barely go out. We also do the ordering online for groceries. But we don't have that option when we just run to town. I live in a town of 1,000 people. So, right. You know, we can only run to the Dollar General or run to the gas station if we need something. And we don't run out to get something. You know, we plan our trips and we mask and we glove. It's you like heading to be... into battle.
I know, right? You try to... Exactly. It's not like going to the store every day. You can't do that. You're going to multiply your exposure. No. You know, you got to do it, you know, once a week, once every other week kind of thing. You know, I was just talking about how we just passed 400,000 and, you know, we've been surging. We actually have plateaued a little bit, which is a good thing. And then while you're talking, I was like, oh, I wonder how many we've had today. Because I always check this little coronavirus counter I've bookmarked. And we've shot up 47,000 just today. Jeez. In the U.S. And I was like, whoa, because the most we've ever had is 34,000 was our highest day total. And I was like, why is it almost 48,000? Plus, we have the rest of the day to go, where I think we're going to cross 50. Then I was scanning up the states, and it says plus 22,000 from Nevada. They had 2,000 coming into today, and they're reporting 22,000. So either someone's has a data error here, or Nevada is like, Charlie was sitting on the binder over here. These are our test results we forgot to send you for the last few weeks. I don't know what's going on here.
Hey, I mean, it's better than the guy who resurrected himself in Finland. Well, not better.
Oh, that was awesome.
I mean, that was unbelievable. And we'll move on to baseball here in a moment, folks.
I know.
But that was absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Everybody shared their, you know, deaths for the day, and Finland was at -1. Like, did somebody come back from the dead? What happened?
Yeah, it's like, this is how the zombie apocalypse starts.
You know, I made the joke on your Facebook. It is the week of Easter, so a resurrection is entirely possible.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Well, I wouldn't say entirely possible, but yes, it's just very funny timing, you know. That's what we have to do. We have to laugh in those moments when we have those things, you know. As a meme guy, I love memes. I scroll through them every night to go to sleep, and there are so many good and funny people out there putting out good work. You know, the result of the shut-in, we're going to have a ton of great music, we're going to have a ton of great writing, we're going to have a ton of great art coming out of this. You know, That's the one benefit of something like this. And the environment is cleaning itself up a little bit. And I don't have a problem with that personally. I don't think that we need to have thousands upon thousands of people die for that to happen.
No.
There are some
silver linings for sure.
Right. I'm trying to straddle that line here of sounding offensive and not, because I'm not, you know, trying to offend anybody by bringing those things up. But like, it is interesting that the world is showing certain things, you know, during this time like that, you know, seeing animals come back to certain places, seeing how much less pollution is being put in the air. And you touched on something earlier. A lot of companies are going to keep up with the telecommuting. And a lot of companies now have no excuse to not allow telecommuting. If all this business and all this stuff can get done while everybody's telecommuting, then it can get done by certain ways afterwards too.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are learning that they can go see their kid's baseball game instead of staying at the office, because your kid's going to be there, but that company might not.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think that's one of the important lessons that's definitely being learned from all this. And, you know, I brought up a lot of new stuff's coming out, and that's why I was listening to, we're all catching up on podcasts and stuff, and I was listening to a football podcast I really enjoy. I'm going to give them a shout out around the NFL. They've got Dan Hanzus, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal, and Mark Sessler. They're very good. They cover the whole league. They're very thorough. They've been together almost as long as we have. And so they're very good football podcast for the whole NFL. And they did an exercise the other day where they've been doing podcasts every day, because I think they just want to get away from their families for an hour. And so they call them bunker casts. And they had the concept the other day, who in football would they like to ride out a pandemic with? And one of the guys answered the owner of the Lions, because of how big her house must be and how nice it would be. And I thought that was appropriate, but not what I was looking for. So I thought about this, and I took the same concept and applied it to the Giants. And you know, I told you about it, so you'd have something in your mind. So let's have a little fun a little bit, step away from the coronavirus and everything that, and the 420,000 cases that are currently in our country. And let's, you know, take an idea. You know, we talked about, I've been sheltered in place for 28 days. That means you've been sheltered in place for about 25 days now. Mm-hmm. So you said, you know, you're extended through May. I live in a state where they really only are set up till the 13th of April right now. So, but if they were smart, we'd all be shut in for another couple months. So say you have to ride out a pandemic with somebody, and say you get to choose somebody from the Giants organization who's currently connected to the Giants organization to hang out with. I made a list of my top five, and I'll share those in a moment. But, you know, you've had some time to think about this. Have you had any ideas of who you'd love to spend some time with?
Yeah. No, I got my list for sure. You want me to share those?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, you're taking a drink there.
Well, yeah. Sorry about that. I talked a lot right there for a second.
No worries. Yeah, so I thought this was an interesting question. And so, yeah, I did do it based off of your blog post about Giants-related people. And so this is in no particular order. It's just as they popped in my head, and when I thought, I just wrote them down in no particular order. Will Clark would be one. Now, I did have the opportunity to interview him a few years ago, and that's actually still up on our website somewhere. It's one of our bonus-sodes interview and everything. But he's been, you know, my favorite player of all time. And I met him a few times when I was a kid or when I was a teenager. One time it was at an autograph show, unfortunately, you know, one of those things. But when I came up, you know, he wasn't just like a robot signing everything. He took time and talked to every fan. And And he was great. And we played football with his baseball cards. You know, he's like, all right, put up the field goal. And I did. And, you know, he'd flick his card and score. We went back and forth a few times, that kind of thing. He actually danced with my wife long time before I met her. down at the Duck Club in L.A., which I thought was interesting. But regardless of that, he's just always been a very fascinating personality, very extroverted, very outgoing, very opinionated, but in a way where I would just love to have a beer with him during the pandemic and just, you know, chew the fat with him and just talk about all of his old stories, and not just for baseball, but just in life in general, you know, how he grew up and just, you know, talk about the process of life and what he values now that he's been out of baseball for so long. John Miller would be another one. It's not just because of his sultry voice, and I like listening to it, but he's a very interesting man, and he's very well-rounded. He is a very smart, I think he has a high intellect as well, and not only his grand baseball resume, but I think just in general, he has some fantastic stories to tell, and he's a great storyteller. He is so engaging, and I just think that would be a lot of fun to bounce things off of him.
That would. I don't want to interrupt you, but your choice for Will Clark is the same as my choice for Willie Mays right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the classic. I knew that's who you were going to pick because that's you. Just like you knew Willie Mays would be who I pick because that's right. Me. You know, and I agree with you. I think Clark would be absolutely fascinating. He's the kind of guy who walked away from baseball to take care of his family. So I think that would also be a great line of things to explore. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to interrupt your list, but just Clark. I knew Clark was absolutely going to be at the top of it.
Bruce Bochy's there as well. I think, again, he's a very engaging individual. A lot of people call him intimidating. And I think maybe the very first time I met him, just his physical size was somewhat intimidating. But he's like this big teddy bear. Once you start talking to him and everything, he's a very warm personality and a dry wit. And I think that would be another interesting personality to talk to. Again, not just about baseball, but life in general. I think he could offer a lot. Mike Murphy, the equipment manager, the locker room guy.
Murph. How did I mean, miss Murph? Oh.
He has been there forever. And you want to talk about stories? Oh, my God. He probably – now, this is with the caveat of hopefully he'd let a few – a few really good scintillating stories actually leak out or keep it with confidence with you, but he's got to have some great stories about things that went down back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whenever, right? So he would be another really, really fun person to talk to. And then wrapping up my list is what you just mentioned, is Willie Mays. For very obvious reasons, not just his age and his extent reach back into, you know, even into the 50s of baseball, but he's a very interesting man as well. And to talk about how he dealt with, you know, racial issues and helping to break that color barrier and succeed in a white man's sport. And, you know, just talking shop too, and all the people he admired, and you know, maybe dig up some stories from him about who he didn't like or who he suspected of doing, you know, felonious things. I don't know. Anyway, I just think it's a really good question, Eric, and I think it caused me to kind of look deep down inside and go, who would I really want to talk to and, you know, share a beer with during the pandemic? And anyway, that's my list. That's a good one.
I will tell you, interesting thing about your list is every single person on your list is older. Will Clark is the youngest person on your list at the age of 56.
That's true. And I mean, there's probably another list of 5 or 10 people I could come up with pretty quickly, but those are the ones I think that floated to the top.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking with all these old guys, and if they don't want the stories to come out, you're going to be signing non-disclosure agreements every time you show up to somebody's
right?
house.
Oh, not this guy again.
Yeah, that's a good list. Murph is somebody I just didn't even think of. I can't believe I forgot Murph, because you're right. Stories is the main thing you focused on, and I can tell from your list, and it's one of those things I focused on when doing this exercise, is who would teach me the most? And that's why Willie Mays is at the top of my list. I would learn so much. You know, not just, you know, you mentioned, you know, baseball's color barrier and everything like that. I mean, he was good friends with, you know, Banks and Aaron and Clemente, like all those guys, Joe Morgan, all those guys would play together on the All-Star team every year. And there's a reason the National League won like 16 straight All-Star games. It was because you had this lineup. Willie Mays was the leadoff batter on those lineups. And, you know, it'd be fascinating to hear those things. And knowing, you know, for me, the connection to my father, like, it blows my mind that Willie broke in with the Giants in 1951. That's 69 years ago. My father lived his entire life from 47 to 12. You know, Willie has been a part of the Giants organization longer than my father lived. That's the part that blows me away. Like, imagine how much stuff he must know from the 50s and 60s and even like the 80s and 90s with management and the moving and stuff like that. I mean, he would be a wealth of information. So I absolutely agree there with everybody being a wealth of information. And then I'll throw mine out there. I went a little more current with a couple. Like, I chose Brandon Crawford as one of mine, and I wrote about this on my blog when I wrote about all major league players. Just imagine how luxurious and beautiful your hair would look after spending 3 months with Brandon Crawford. That alone is worth it. It's absolutely worth it. But you throw in the fact that he's the team DJ and he's the guy who knows a ton of music. I think he'd be great to ride out ride out a pandemic with. Same reason I think Johnny Cueto would be. Now, if you've never followed Johnny Cueto on Instagram, go look at his Instagram page. This guy, it's nuts. He cooks a ton of food. He loves to ride horses. I love to ride horses. He's got a working farm. You know, I love working farms. I would do it. I mean, Cueto is just a fascinating guy. I don't even think the language barrier would be a problem.
No, and he still speaks English. I mean, just not, you know, very well. Mm-hmm. But you guys can converse, yeah.
Yeah, we'd probably be speaking Spanglish by the end of it. I mean, I know some Spanish. I worked in restaurants for years, so I know kitchen Spanish. Plus, you know, I took it when I was, you know, 30-something years ago in high school or whatever.
Right.
Whatever that was, you know. So I think Cueto would be fun. And then Hunter Pence popped into my head. He would not have been on this list a year ago because he took that little hiatus with the Rangers. But I love coffee. Pence loves coffee. I love competing. Pence loves competing. He's got all those games at his coffee shop. He has his own coffee line, and he's got Lexi. So you got somebody to hang out with the wife at the same time. So it's kind of a package deal when it comes down to Hunter and Lexi. So that was – Hunter was my fourth choice. And then I totally cheated with my last choice. I chose Kruk and Kipe as one unit because I don't think it would be fun with just one or the other. I think you need both of them there. And could you imagine sitting on the couch with Kruk and Kipe, watching anything on television and commenting on somebody eating or so what somebody's wearing or something like that? They have got to be so funny when it comes to that moment. So yeah, I figure Kruk and Kipe would be great.
Yeah, that's a great call. Kruko just cracks me up. I would totally love to have both of them in the same room. That's a really good call. Yeah, it is interesting how it was all older people on my list.
Yeah. But
I think that's what it was. It was more of the length of time they've been around and the stories and wisdom they've accumulated over that length of time, you know? But great list.
Absolutely. I mean, that was part of why, you know, I thought this was fascinating because we have different reasons for picking different guys. And we are both the type of people that thirst for knowledge. So it makes sense that we want people like Willie Mays and Kruk and Kipe and Murph and John Miller or Bochy to sit and talk with us for hours. Because, I mean, who else are you going to learn from? Like, I still to this day, a conversation I had with Brian Sabian 7 years ago still sticks in my mind because we didn't just talk about like, oh, my God, I'm such a fan. You know, like we had a conversation about New York and old school Yankees and things like that. So it was nice to be able to step out of that comfort zone. And I'll always remember it because it wasn't specifically about the Giants. And I think that's what all these guys would bring to the table. Now, I went one further on my personal blog, twooouthits.com, shameless plug. If you want to go check that out, I wrote about last week, I wrote a love letter to sports. This week I wrote about, I expanded it to outside of just Giants, and I'm just going to run through my list real quick. I told you Brandon Crawford was on the list, but I'd love to hang out with Sean Doolittle for a few months. The guy is absolutely... Oh, it's a thunderstorm warning. The guy's absolutely a deep thinker. He reads a lot. He listens to good music, and he's got a lot. Mookie Betts is another one I think would be fascinating. The guy has competed. He's thrown a perfect game in a professional bowling event. Like, that blew my mind when I was doing my research. I had no idea.
I've seen some of his competition. He is very good.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I've always liked Mookie Betts. There was one spring training game like 4 years ago where he was mic'd up and talking to the guys in the booth. And he was totally the guy that, you know, the ball gets hit his way. He's like, oh, looks like I got to get this. He's like, oh, I should take this route. That's hanging up there a little longer. Whoo, I lost that in the sun for a minute. You know what I mean? It was like real. And so, he did that. So it kind of made me a fan at that point. Granted, he's a Dodger now, so let's forget that portion of it. And then Bumgarner, I thought, was an obvious choice. If we were doing a Giants list a year ago, Bum would have been at the top of the list. I mean, the man is a man's man. He's a rancher. He's a cowboy. And I'd love to hang out with him. And, I mean, honestly, it'd be a great workout to work on that ranch for 3 months. I know. And then, that's all I could think, because whenever we used to work on ranches, you know, my muscles would totally tone up.
I think by default, we'd all just absorb more testosterone sprout hair from places we didn't have it, you know?
I couldn't pick up this axe yesterday. Then I started talking to Bumgarner. Now I can chop wood.
Now flannel looks good on me.
I can grow a beard? Fantastic. And then I threw Vin Scully in there on the end for the same reasoning. Vin Scully's everybody on everybody's list is just because the stories and the things would be fantastic. I mean, Vin Scully saw his first baseball game in 1936.
Yeah.
He was a Giants fan until he got a job with the Dodgers. So there's a little piece of him that I'm sure appreciated that his final broadcast was – in the Giants stadium.
Right. Yeah. No, it's funny. When I was doing research on Vince Scully a while ago, I had come across the same thing. I actually never knew that he grew up a Giants fan. And when I read that, I was like, oh, that's interesting.
But it's funny because you look at our writers, Hank Shulman grew up a Dodger fan.
And Bags used to cover the Dodgers.
Yep, Kruko, I'm sure, grew up a Dodgers fan from being, what is he, Encino or something like that?
Yeah, he's from Southern California. Exactly. Yes. No, there's a lot of people we hold dearly as Giants people, but so many of them actually grew up as Dodgers fans. And I think, you know, some Giants fans would be surprised to hear the names of some of them.
Yes, that's true. Well, so we did this exercise on our own, and I wrote a whole post about it. Check it out at torturecast.com. I covered all the guys I mentioned. Wrong page. Crawford, Pence, Cueto, Mays, Kruger, Kipe. I had to switch from mine to the other one to see which one. So we also put the call out. I was curious to see, you know, listeners, who you'd like to spend time with during the pandemic. And we got some feedback. Ian Silva on Facebook says that he definitely would love to hang out with Mad Bum, and Kutch always seemed like a cool guy to hang out to chill with. I agree. Mm-hmm. Brandon LaRosa from Facebook also says Timmy, and that's all he says. And honestly, that's all Timmy needs to say, right? That's all he needs to say. That's the thing. I mean, I would love Timmy. I feel like he's tangentially connected now. I don't feel like he's directly connected anymore, which is why I didn't choose him. But Timmy and I have a lot in common, so we would definitely enjoy ourselves. We had a comment on the blog from Retro D. She commented under my blog post that she had a dream that Buster found the cure to COVID-19. She's not kidding. She really had a dream about that. So after that dream, Buster is definitely her choice. That is. I appreciate that, Dee, because I know she's definitely one of our followers who reads our stuff. So it's good to see she commented on the TortureCast page. And then I threw it out to the subreddit, to the Giants subreddit. And Fainted Goats says Timmy. Green Arrow 76 says John Miller, same reason, he'd love to hear John Miller stories. Assassin Giant Shark said Pence, but it would have been Bum, but, and same thing. Or maybe Pablo, because of the personalities. It's interesting, neither of us mentioned Pablo.
Yeah, no, he can't say he wouldn't be on my extended list, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then we had two more. Bay Farm said Brian Wilson, that would be something. I don't know if something is the word to describe it. I'm not sure we can say that word on television. And ADX321 says he would spend time with the Thrill. And we all know the thrill is Will. So I that was a fun exercise. I appreciate, you know, any listener feedback. If you respond to this after we've recorded this, because we're recording Wednesday, April 8th. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon right now, Pacific time. So if you comment after that, we'll try to call them together and share them on a future episode.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for your input, guys. Love it. Yeah, it's funny because I think it was a couple of months ago, and I did tweet this out on the TortureCast account, but I go down the YouTube hole, I think like a lot of people do, and there's this one channel called Yes Theory. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it's a, I don't know, it's three or four guys that started this channel a few years ago, and they basically tackle challenges that either are funny or maybe hard. They seem unreasonable at first, but they try to do it. So their theory is seek discomfort. To achieve new goals and to push your boundaries, you need to actually be uncomfortable doing things, right? So it's anything, I'm just going off the top of my head, like, you know, traveling across a foreign country without any money. Can you do that? Can you come up with the resources and be bold enough to do that? Dropping someone off in the middle of a country, but they've been blindfolded and they've been traveling for 24 hours. They don't know where the hell they are. And they get dropped off and they need to figure out how to get back home. Things like, you know, 30-day, going vegan for 30 days, right? So that was this one episode I was watching. And one of the guys went over to a friend's house where they were going to cook him a proper vegan meal. And it was this tiny little apartment. And this guy comes in, and he's the spitting image of Brian Wilson. And he's wearing, like, a tank top and, like, pink pants and a weird shirt. And I don't know, he was all screwy and his big beard and everything like that. And he goes, "Hi, my name's Brian." And I was like, oh, my God. And it's him. It's Brian freaking Wilson showing up randomly in this guy's YouTube video. He was part of this little network of friends that gets together and cook vegan meals down in Southern California. So it was just an odd place to see him. And he was just like a normal guy. Like he wasn't like, "I'm Brian, former major league pitcher." He's just like, "I'm Brian. OK, yeah, this is what we're cooking." Like the other guy had no idea who he was. Right. He's not a baseball guy or anything. So. Thought that was interesting. Just a quick update, that Nevada 22,000 I was hoping was an error. It was. It's been fixed.
Okay, good.
Yeah, something got screwed up there. Yeah, so we've gone up 20,000 or so today.
Okay, yeah, because the total number of cases since we started talking went from 419,000 to 424,000 from what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in the time that we've been talking, and we've been on mic together for about an hour right now. And yeah. It's just, yeah.
Crazy.
Sorry. Yes.
All right. So you put something in here that I found interesting because I did read this a couple of days ago. Why don't you go ahead and talk about what Major League Baseball might be planning to do?
All right. Well, since we are a baseball podcast, we should probably talk about whether or not baseball will be played this year. There is an idea out there that Major League Baseball and their players union has been working on apparently for the last few weeks to possibly start the season. They say May, but the logistics sound like June is really more realistic, of starting a season centrally located in Arizona without fans. And the idea is to sequester each team and take 10 fields around the Phoenix area, including the Major League Ballpark, you know, because that's where a lot of spring training is, and use those facilities to play games without fans so that they can start up some sort of semblance of a season. And to protect the players, they want to sequester everybody in one hotel. Each team would be in one hotel, and they would not be able to go anywhere but to and from the games, and they would travel together. And like I said, there'd be no fans. And there's a lot of logistics to work out. You know, you got umpires who are older and more susceptible. You got managers who are older and more susceptible. You've got broadcasters that are older and more susceptible to the disease. So they would have to figure out ways to make sure that everybody could. But this is the idea that's being floated right now, because from all the possibilities they've been looking at, this seems like the best idea. And I don't hate it. You know, it's the times we're living in, but at least it shows that they're doing something, you know, at least it shows that they're trying something. So I don't know what you thought about this. When I first was doing notes and I wrote down, well, you know, let's talk about it. Do they play in 2020? I hadn't read this article yet. And now we have some semblance of hope. Does this offer hope, or is this just, you know, pie in the sky type thinking?
I mean, it offers hope. Any baseball is better than no baseball, as far as I'm concerned, because there's a whole lot of problems that arise if this season is canceled, You know what I mean? A lot of it has to do with the age of players and contracts and the draft and all of those things, right? Time still marches forward. You can't just freeze everyone in place and then start again next year. So, you know, it's interesting to consider a lot of those one-year contract things. Like, I'm just going to bring up Hunter Pence, right? One-year contract with the Giants. It's like, so what happens if they don't play? They just freeze that contract and then he plays next year. Well, okay, they're a year older, right? There's also going to be the draft. There may not be a need to have Hunter Pence. Maybe that 1 year older makes a difference in his ability. Maybe having 1 year off for a lot of players, see their skills diminish a little bit. There's a lot of those things that come up into play, and I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to deal with them per se. So I would like to see even a partial season down in Arizona. That said, it just wouldn't feel, it would feel artificial. So even though I know the Giants are not going to compete for a title this year, I just feel like whoever would ultimately win the championship, it just, I don't think it would feel like they won it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. It's a strange thing. I'm being very subjective about it. It's just, I keep calling it this feeling. Did they have the best record or go through the playoffs? And yeah, okay, they did all that stuff. It just doesn't feel like that. Maybe that necessarily would have been the champion if we had a regular season. But that said, baseball is better than no baseball. I do find it very interesting that the CDC and NIH actually are supporting a plan if they were this strict in isolation measures and social distancing. But you bring up those really crucial points, is that it's one thing if a player gets sick, and we've already seen it in the NBA, right? And we already know minor leaguers have tested positive. But if one player, one personnel, one locker room guy tests positive, because they would have regular testing all of the time to make sure that they have this lockdown. If just one of them gets tested positive, you know, more probably have been exposed, if not have it. And then you're shutting down the sport all over again. You know what I mean? You're just doing it again. And so that's the problem that I see in this whole situation. I don't think you can necessarily make it through 3, 4, 5 months with this kind of protocol in place. I don't see it being foolproof. And if it's not foolproof and you have to shut down the season again, then why do it? So that's my only issue with it.
Yeah, that's my hang up too. And, you know, they've talked about expanded rosters so that if somebody does come down with it, then they can just be interchanged, you know, plus they're going to be playing in Arizona in the summertime. And that's not pleasant. There's a reason that that ballpark has a roof.
I thought about that too. I was thinking about July and August games in Municipal Stadium or Scottsdale or wherever. It's like, are you kidding me? That's like, I know it'd all be evening games. I don't care. 7 o'clock at night, it's still 100 degrees in some of these locations. So, yeah.
But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Well, you know what? It can't, because it wouldn't work with TV. But I was going to say, maybe they just play all their games at 2 a.m. under the lights.
Right?
And they just work a graveyard shift instead. But yeah, no, the whole TV thing wouldn't work.
No, but that is the one bonus, though, is baseball could take over the airwaves if they were to put this plan in place. If there was no other sports going on at that time, they'd be the only ones with original programming, and they could sell the shit out of this. They could absolutely promote it in any way, shape, or form they want to. You know, going back to your thought about, you know, that feeling of, was this really the best team? I think no matter what happens this year, as much as the Astros now have an asterisk on them, I think this year is going to have an asterisk. And it's not by obviously anybody's actions. It's because we all know that something is different this year. You know, they floated ideas of a shorter season, but an expanded playoffs, doing something World Baseball Classic-y by having like round robins and having teams advance there. So I think any semblance of a normal season is out the window. I think any chance to feel like it's a normal season is totally, totally gone. So like you, I'd be happy just to have some baseball. It would be great, but I mean, there's that constant fear of it getting shut down one day because, you know, three people got tested for it and they're in the same locker room and now everybody's exposed.
Yeah, because they can't let the sport continue if one personnel gets a positive. They can't, because then they have to assume that others have been exposed and they don't know who. And what are you going to do? You can't let them play and then expose an older umpire, manager, Mike Murphy, you know, kind of guy. So unfortunately, I would love to see it happen. I just don't see it being logistically possible. So they're going to cross that bridge here in the next few weeks, maybe. it also depends on kind of the trajectory of this, you know, virus and everything. But, you know, I think they may have to just come to a point going, is this really worth it? You know, let's just take a rain check and move on to next year, because these players will also be living in relative isolation. Not that they're not now, but they're with their family at least. Then they're going to be put just with their teammates for freaking 6 straight months. They can't go to restaurants or bars or travel or have an off day and go golf. Those are the kinds of things that they're going to be restricted from doing, right? And you know that some of these players are going to sneak out. They're going to break curfew. They're going to get out somehow. And that's where the exposure is going to happen. And then someone's going to test positive, and then it'll be pointing to someone. Oh my God, it's because he went out and went to Applebee's for dinner one night, you know? And it's like, great, thanks. Now we got to shut down the sport. But I tell you one thing though, in a weird way, so a lot of the Houston Astros are probably going, this isn't the worst thing that could happen to us right now.
Right?
The target has been completely moved off of their backs for the time being. There's just no chatter about that because obviously no one cares about them at this moment. Even if we were to start a shortened season down in Arizona, it would resurface to a certain extent, but it would not have near the fervor that we were going to have. We were talking about a couple podcasts ago when they were going to come into Oakland for opening day. We were just going to see the shit rain down on them. And now we're not going to see it, because if they do play, it's not going to be in front of fans. So there's not going to be the booing and the signs and all of those things that we were looking forward to. But it's going to be very clinical. I mean, I know that Japan was playing baseball in empty stadiums and stuff, or Korea, whatever it was. But that would be really strange to see the Giants in like their home unis in some Arizona ballpark, and you'd be able to hear the players yelling and screaming at each other and having conversations. And I don't know. It's going to be a very odd thing if it were to happen.
I mean, I'd love to have the distraction. I really would. It would make these days so much easier. You know, people would become baseball fans that were not baseball fans before. And the Astros point is dead on. These guys have got to be sitting at home being like, oh, phew. Oh, because, I mean, we literally, that's what's so funny about this. The last show that we recorded with Ty and Willie, the whole reason that we got together, the whole reason that we talked a few days earlier about doing that show was the Astros cheating scandal.
I know, right?
And we were supposed to do that. And then, like, we talked about it that night, but stupid coronavirus has cut everything from that. And, like, that stuff doesn't seem to matter. Sorry, I can't help but do the Cardi B every time. Coronavirus! Sorry. I don't know who's seen that video, but you can't get it out of your head. You know, so the Astros get let off the hook. I mean, AJ Hinch is suspended for a year. They're not going to change that. If there's no baseball this year, there's no baseball this year. He was suspended for the year with no baseball, which makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so some of these punishments that these guys got, they're now getting off light. You know, like you said, they're not going to have the scorn of the fans. They're not going to have the scorn of opposing players. They're not going to have, you know, scoreboard graphics of a garbage can being slammed, which you know is coming. None of that stuff's going to happen now. And they kind of do get off easy in all of this. Like, they are probably the one organization out of 30 that is thankful for the coronavirus.
Yeah, probably the only one. That's what the irony of it. It's like, damn it. Now they're getting off. Well, not off. They're just, it's not going to be as bad. Anyway.
No. It's so much at once. So much at once, you know, that we went from baseball jumped to the forefront in January with all the cheating stuff. And then as soon as we shifted to coronavirus, it was like, nobody's even talking about it anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's a very odd thing. It's amazing how quickly our minds can change based on a pandemic.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of problem there. All right. I mean, I know,
folks. Yeah, I was going to say, we tried to record today to try to, you know, have a little break from the pandemic and stuff like that. But we end up talking about it because it's inevitable. It is what is going on in the world right now. So we have to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have to. It'd be kind of dumb not to. But hey, if you need a distraction, hopefully we provided that for you. We didn't get too depressing, I don't think. We had some levity to it, but I know that we have some other stuff that we're going to want to share in future episodes, and Eric and I will be putting it out there, including, we won't talk about it today because we're going to try and keep this under an hour since there's not really any baseball to talk about per se. What's the survey you want to shoot out there just so our listeners can be prepped for it?
Oh, you mean the all-time team?
Yeah.
So I had an idea, you know, everybody's making these lists of, you know, the greatest team ever and who is the all-time best Giants team and who's the all-time best Angels team. Well, I don't give a shit about the all-time best team. I want to know who your all-time favorite team is. You know, you can mix and match. And I'm talking players from your own lifetime. Like, I cannot put Willie Mays on my team. I want to, but the man was inducted into the Hall of Fame the year I was born. So he was not playing. But, you know, all your favorites throughout time, you know, maybe A.J. Pierzynski is your favorite catcher. Maybe you're a dickhead. But maybe A.J. Pierzynski is your favorite catcher, and so you want him to be your catcher forever. Maybe you love Cody Ross so much that you think he's the greatest left fielder the Giants have ever had. What is your team of favorite players that you'd love to put together? You know, that's kind of the other thing I was thinking. And we were going to touch on it a little bit here, but, you know, I don't want to go too long because we don't have any quote-unquote real baseball to talk about.
We're going to need material for next podcast anyway, so there you go.
Right? Because as much as we talk about the Arizona plan, we don't know. You know, I'm going to quote the great Dr. Fauci here. We don't set the timeline. The virus sets the timeline. Yeah. And so we cannot – everything that we want is with a caveat. It's with an if. It's with a but. Everything that baseball talks about is with an if, with a but, because we cannot pin it down yet. And the only way for us to flatten this curve to get baseball sooner is to stay at home. So if you're listening to this and you're in your car, I get it. You're probably essential, and I thank you so much. Thank you to all the retail workers that are doing stuff. Thank you to all the nurses, all the doctors. But if you're not one of these people, stay home so that we can get through this and we can have baseball soon.
I couldn't really have said it too much better, Eric. I don't care which way you lean politically. I don't care if you're a scientist or you're not a scientist. Science doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. That's the beauty about science, is that there are no politics to it. So, you know, heed the government's warning. Heed the scientist's warning. Stay at home. Don't go out. Don't go play basketball with your friends. Don't go mix around with other families or people that you're not living with. Please stay isolated in your own place with your own family. And I know it's easier said than done, especially, you know, I'm living in a 5-bedroom house with 3 other people. It's fine, right? We got a backyard and a front yard. I'm not living with a massive, large family in a tiny 1-bedroom apartment in an apartment building where you're potentially exposed to a lot of other people just walking down the hallway or doing your laundry or going out for a walk. So I get it. Everybody has a different situation they need to deal with, but we all got to do this together to get through this more quickly. And that's the point, to resume normal life. If we keep doing this whack-a-mole, you know, bullshit where we're going to start and stop and open and close different parts of the union and different businesses and different schools, we're just never going to get on the same page together. We got to all do this together. So anyway, my little soapbox, just do what you can. Stay safe. Keep your hands washed. Don't touch your face. Still having trouble with that one, by the way, Eric.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the hardest one.
I'm just like always constantly like, I'm touching my face again. I can't help it. Oh, there's something in my teeth. I'm digging it out. I'm like, I just put my finger in my mouth.
At home and you haven't come in contact with people. But like, I'll be out and about, I'll have my mask on, all my gloves on, and all of a sudden I'll be like, oh my crap. Oh my God, my nose itches. It itches so bad. And I won't do anything about it. I can't do about it. The other day I willed it away, you know. We were halfway through a store and I was like, oh, thank God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because it is. It's a natural instinct. You know, I mean, hugging might become a thing of the past. And, you know, I'm not an overly affectionate guy, but, like, there are some friends out there I'd like to hug when I see them because I haven't seen them in so long. And, you know, I'm going to be scared to do that now.
That's what my daughter said this morning. It broke my heart. She said one of the biggest things she misses right now is hugging her friends. And I was like, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, anyway, virtual hug to all you guys out there. thanks for listening to our podcast and taking the time to do so. Likewise, If you have anything you want to send our way, please do so. You can actually email us at torturecast@gmail.com. You can check out our webpage at torturecast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us at Twitter at torturecast. Myself, I'm on Twitter at ChadK21. Eric is at 2OutHits with a number 2. And check out his blog, 2OutHits, where he put some of this recent survey or kind of list material, which is great. So check that out. But, you know, keep each other safe. You know, stay healthy, keep healthy, do what you need to do during this time. But also, you know, we all need our outlets. So we do appreciate you listening. So you got anything else, Eric?
Nope, not anything else. Stay at home.
That's right. Just like Sam Jackson said. All right. Yep. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time for episode 103. Aboom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.